Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my conscious friends, and welcome to the Dr. Sarah Let's Talk About It Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'm your host, Dr. Sarah Brodsky. Okay. Wow. How is everyone today? I hope you're doing well, and I'm so grateful that you're joining us for a part two episode on addiction. But not your traditional approach to addiction. It is a very open to possibilities point of view on addiction that we will be further exploring tonight. Myself and the live guests will be speaking to you about really seeing addiction from a space that is conscious, a space of possibilities rather than problem. So, are you ready? Yeah, this is going to hit addiction hard on this show, a very different approach. And I'm so excited. And really, truly, how does it get any better than this? So, we are now going to shed light on this from a very different non-traditional point of view, which you may recognize some of the more traditional approaches would be 12 steps, Alcoholics Anonymous, just to name a couple. But that is more of the linear approach to addiction. And there's so much wrongness in that. And I'm here just to acknowledge the differences. And that's what my guest and I will be speaking about with you. So before we do that, I would like to share with you some questions that we actually went over before in the previous episode that will help get us clear and open to receiving something a little different tonight on the show. So here are a few questions we can start with before I bring the live guest on. Now, how do you define addiction? What does addiction look like to you? What difference are you willing to be or not be when it comes to this? Do you share in the point of view that addiction is a problem that you have and define yourself as such? Have you been wronged or have you been wronged by yourself for having an addiction? Have you been taught that you are helpless to it and you cannot control it? Or are you a family member of someone that has dealt with alcoholism or addiction or drug abuse that have carried the heaviness of their problem? So everything this brings up, let's clear it now. So like on other episodes, as we clear it, you take a deep breath in with all the heavy and release all of the heavy on the exhale. Or if you know pot and pock, you can pot and pock it. Wow. Thank you. That has some charge on it. So let's go ahead and aim to explore this with my live guest. Now, my live guest, you may recognize, is Liz Tuffling. So excited to have Liz back on the show. So Liz is a private practice integrative psychotherapist and conscious living facilitator with an office in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. In her work, she is dedicated to guiding individuals, families, and organizations toward more fulfilling relationships and life experiences. Working with a broad range of clients, Liz uses an integrative treatment style to assist people in moving toward emotional wholeness and connectedness, while helping people better understand the role of their individual histories, contributions, and choices. She offers a therapeutic approach that encompasses the mind, body, spirit in its totality. So without further ado, I welcome back Liz Tuffling. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Dr. Sarah. Thank you so much for bringing me back for part two.
Oh, my gosh. I am so excited to have you back on. And wow, we thought, you know, the first episode covered a lot of whatever is related here with addiction. But since you and I have talked, there's so much that we could possibly explore tonight.
For sure. So many stones unturned, but I have a feeling we're going to get to them.
Exactly. And so we can certainly start, Liz, with exploring this possibility of looking at the possibility of recovery in that form, as well as the problematic approach. So is there anything you would like to start with in terms of speaking to that?
Well, I think the idea of recovery is that, you know, is the idea of whether sobriety is sustainable. And my sense is from different clients, you know, that I've seen over the years who have struggled with addiction, and maybe your experience with clients in much the same way, is that the sustainability factor around sobriety, or, you know, just maintaining sobriety, sometimes is inhibited by people feeling shame and feeling like they're in the wrongness because of dependencies and habits. And so I think the people that have seen over the years that have been able to maintain a level of sobriety have been the people who have moved through that process of feeling shame and feeling wronged, and no longer feel that and are free of that and can really just choose what's light and right for them.
Wow. So really getting past the wrongness of self or the problematic space is really where you have seen individuals taking stride and living their life fully. And it sounds like that's what you're saying there. And I'm aware too that with clients, it's really once they start being who they are from a conscious standpoint and really no longer defining themselves as anything, allows them to have other choices and possibilities. And from what you and I have talked about, really looking at the overall linear approach to addiction, I can probably speak for both of us that we found some limitations in this approach. I mean, specifically the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous really focuses more on this problematic piece.
Yes, and being in the wrongness and feeling that shame and being embarrassed and, you know, and just being so, so deficient in yourself. And maybe even just a whether it's subtle or not so subtle, but maybe being in the limitation of, hey, if you'd like to be sober and you'd like to be on the road of to recovery, this may be the only way to get there. And I think from, you know, the feedback that I've received from some clients who have just decided that that particular recovery format really isn't for them, that was their experience of it, was just there was this inference of sobriety is about being in this model. And if you're not in this model, you probably won't be able to maintain and sustain recovery. And I feel like there's that sense of like that creates a fear, like, oh, my God, if I don't do it this way, then I'm never going to get better. So, you know, I hear that from clients. Yeah.
In another place where they're not fitting in. Yeah, a limitation, and now they're no longer able to even do recovery right. And so there's all this more of focusing in on powerlessness, a sense of things outside of them have the power over them. I mean, these are words taken directly from 12 steps. I'm looking at it right now, in fact, that a lot of times, well, here it's number 3, turn our will over and our lives over to the care of God. So there's a sense of like that they can't trust themselves to be who they are, that they need to be told who they are. They need to be told what to do. They need to be accountable by someone else or something else outside of them, which leaves them in this limited place where they began with, which probably started the whole addiction to start with. So there's a sense of like, it's just exchanging one thing for another as a way to not be themselves.
Right, which is like, as you point out, you just pointed out so well, Dr. Sarah, is you know, that probably what they were getting out of numbing themselves and, you know, avoiding emotions was that, you know, medicating the feelings of being themselves. And so here's another format in which to do it.
Yes. And it's what they claim as a way to move through it, which actually probably keeps them stuck in it. At least that's been my awareness of what clients have shared with me, that a lot of times the individuals that land in my office have tried a lot of different approaches, but it hasn't been till they've been willing to actually clear what's been heavy and choose to live their life fully in a conscious way, which the tools you and I have shared on other shows before, that they've really been able to live their life in a way that they can be who they are.
Exactly. And I think when you're given, all of us, I mean, it really, no matter what the scenario is, the challenge, the dilemma, but when we're all feeling like we're in choice, then I feel like we operate less out of a space of fear and more of from a place of what is possible, and we feel less damaged and broken. But when we feel damaged and broken, we don't feel like we have a lot of options. We feel like we're stuck. You know, you've got a you made your bed, lie in it kind of idea. Mm. And so I think that when we don't feel so deficient, I think we look at what's possible and we can look at many different ways to heal, many different ways to improve and grow. But it's just knowing that that's available to us.
Yeah, and that nothing is meant to define us. And once you get out a definition and you, like you mentioned, choice, that's really where the freedom is. But and what's interesting about when someone is in a space of choice and possibilities, they can really design and create the life that they would like, not from a place of wrongness, just from a space of what else is possible. And what's really interesting too, you know, in terms of approaches and treatment in more the traditional way, so not only are these individuals who are quote unquote addicted and are, you know, the powerless over their addiction, but they are now also subject to ruining everyone else's lives that they touch, including family members. So to add more grist to the mill, let's all suffer in it. Let's blame the one person that is in the quote unquote powerlessness. And now let's all suffer in that and, not get anywhere.
Right. Because that always works out well and has a terrific ending. And so what if we could look at the whole process of examining, you know, addiction and dependency as a family opportunity where the contributions can be made to healing in the family in its totality? Because I mean, that you've probably seen this as well, is that once families, once someone, say, does rehab, okay, and then there's family sessions that start to happen, and then there's really an awareness that everyone in the family has been playing a role in what's been happening, there's an opening. There's like this portal that just kind of opens up for new conversations, new dialogues, new awarenesses that may never really have ever come up or have ever happened if you weren't in this scenario of trying to quote unquote treat the addict. But in the end, isn't it really a contribution? Does it really matter how all this got kicked off? It's still an opportunity.
Yep. It opens up a space for something greater that can be received rather than a limitation. And you bring up an amazing point. And that, you know, really this, if we look at the big picture of this, this is change in the works. So instead of wronging someone for changing, what would it be like to celebrate that and look at as a, you know, what else is possible now point of view, where everyone can receive something greater and look at it from how the quote unquote addiction was a contribution to their world rather than a limitation. And now that they're choosing something else, you know, what can contribute to something that the future could be lighter with.
Exactly. And so in the lightness could potentially come from the fact that the family has been organized, or the whole system has been organized and has been operating around codependency for so long. And now there's really a really kind of pointed look at the codependency that's been happening in of itself, an opportunity to shift and create some awareness around that. And isn't that healing right there?
And as you're saying that, Liz, I just received this information, this idea of when for family members to be in the allowance of the person that may be dealing with the heaviness of an addiction. So when someone can allow someone else to be, that's the greatest gift we can really give anyone. So, but what you can do instead is to have their back rather than being stuck in the problem. So with allowance, which is very much interesting point of view, then it opens it up to be in a space together and choose something different, even individually as well as a family unit.
Mm-hmm. Right, as opposed to, we're going to continue to do this kind of enabling codependent dance where we're hiding it, we're in the shame of it all. We can't talk about it, we can't air it because then we have to do something about it, kind of this whole colluding, shame, embarrassment thing. Well, when the dialogue starts to open up, it's like you said, it's this great, it's this rich opportunity to really shift and be in allowance and see it as this kind of classic chance to bring things to the forefront that everyone sat on for years and then pointed the fingers at the addict and said, but you're the sick one, you're the identified patient. When in fact, we both know from the work that we do, that's not always the case.
And if anything, that falls in alignment with the 12 steps again. So how much of this is even other people's point of view of what addiction is, that if someone didn't even have that point of view, they wouldn't be in that limitation? I mean, this speaks to the steps 4 and 5. I'm looking at them right now. It's just amazing. And even 9. So 9 is made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so when injure them or others. So having to go around to make amends rather than being present and choosing something different. Again, the addict is the one in the limitation causing all these problems, this unhealthy guilt, which is a lie to begin with. So this whole concept is just so interesting, and I really have no judgment on the approach. I'm just aware of the insanity around it. It's just very much a linear construct, which they almost claim is not. It doesn't follow any religion per se, but it has this nature of very much religious piece, because if you're not following the steps, somehow you're doing something wrong.
Right. Right. And there's also this other piece in there of who do you identify as being? So if you spend the next 20, 30 years in recovery, maintaining your sobriety, but you're still identifying with being an addict, how has that impacted your overall perception of self? Has it really freed you up to be all of the other aspects of who you are, who you want to be, because right there, is there a limitation if you've maintained 30 years of sobriety but still do need to refer to yourself as an addict? Aren't there other pieces of you as a being that don't connect with being an addict? And what could that look like if you didn't have to identify yourself as, I'm 30 years sober and I'm a recovered addict? What could life be like if you didn't have to connect with that all these years down the road?
Yes. And how much that's a limitation. I mean, if we look at the tools that we play with on the show, a lot of times with the Access Consciousness, wouldn't infinite being be defined by anything? That's one question. And another is brings up all these, the acronym JAIL. So the acronym JAIL is judgment, agendas, inventions, and lies. So how much of that is more of really the traditional approach to a lot of things in this reality, including, you know, addiction here, that keeps people in the limitation because they're so busy defining themselves by judgment, their agendas of who they are, the inventions of who they think they are, and all the lies they've bought from other points of view?
And then all the limitations that flow from there to a point where I think people are confused about who they are over time. I mean, I have clients who are maintaining sobriety, but they will say to me, I've just had a client today say, look, like my not using substance and substances that I was formerly dependent upon is one aspect of my being. The rest is where I still continue to show up in the world and generate and create great things and have great relationships and still thrive. But that other piece is, I tackled it. It's part of my overall, some of my narrative, some of my history. But I don't want this big sign on my head that says, you know, I'm recovering and I'm an addict. And it's, you know, it's kind of like driving around forever with that sign on the top of your car that says new driver.
Yes.
Okay. But you've been driving for 25 years. No, you're not a new driver. Do you need to drive around with that sign everywhere? Probably not.
Yeah. And it brings up a great point of then how much that limits someone from other choices and possibilities based on the limitation they're buying is defining themselves as that. And I'm so grateful that your client has landed in your office because that's not going to fly in your office or mine for that matter.
Or yours for that matter. Exactly.
Exactly. People clearly for who they truly be and really getting to, you know, this question of what else is possible now that you would like to create, that you're your own being. Everything is kind of part of whoever you like to be and choose to be. And you can really be on a grand adventure every day of your life if you choose to be in that question.
Right, if you're aware that you can choose. And I think that one of the amazing and beautiful things about the awareness that your show brings to people, Dr. Sarah, is that you point out something really clear that a lot of us forget is that we do have the ability and the capacity to choose. We just have to know it and do it. And I think that's an amazing thing that you bring to people, and you bring it right into their awarenesses and their levels of consciousness by just having your show.
Oh, wow, Liz, thank you for that. I'm so grateful. I have no words. Thank you. And that's definitely
my aim.
It is really about looking at this from a place where encouraging, like clearing out what's not serving people and then getting clear on what you would like to choose instead. It sounds simple, but like you and I know that, and basically how our profession works most of the time is getting caught up in what you think, what you feel, and what emotions you are in, rather than, okay, clear that. Now, what would I like to choose? Which is so much more pragmatic, where action takes place and where really people can live life fully and have fun, because isn't that what we're here to do? That's my awareness, at least.
Of course. And, you know, and in choosing, what I think we all can become aware of and just knowing that there are different possibilities that we do have agency in this life is particularly if someone's been using a substance or, you know, a habit to become as a tool for remaining unconscious, right? For remaining kind of like, right, and just kind of going down under and avoiding and whatnot, is that, you know, to come out of that fog that your habit or your substance has been keeping you in, you know, to come out of it and choose something different. And to be aware that to become conscious is actually, you know, a beautiful place to live. And to know that that's available and it doesn't have to be incredibly painful every single day of your life. I mean, it's a really, really amazing invitation. And I just don't know if that's communicated in the recovery rehab world?
Yeah, it's almost more like limitation is more the norm. Like you just have to live with it. You have to deal with it every day of your life. You have to, you know, make sure you're following everything right rather than, oh, I'm going to be me, whatever it takes. I'm choosing this from a conscious space of being. And that's probably, in a nutshell, the difference, the space of problem versus possibilities. And I'm so grateful for this conversation that you and I are having tonight. And I'm hoping all the listeners have been able to receive, too, you know, another point of view and possibility. And really, it's nothing is meant to define you. Nothing's meant to limit you. And we're really meant to be in the space of what else is possible now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm so grateful for you being on the show again, Liz. And would you, well, I know we've been doing kind of once a month visits with you, and I would love for you to come back next month for us to talk about maybe a whole nother topic, relevant topic that could be, you know, going on in the world. Would you like to come back and join me with that?
Of course, count me in with gratitude.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, I'm so grateful for your contribution. And wow, you know, what else is possible now, Liz?
Oh, everything beyond our wildest dreams. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. And so now I'm just going to share real quickly the question of the week, which is relevant to what Liz and I have been talking about. And the question is, what about addiction is keeping you stuck in an addictive point of view? So again, the question of the week is, what about addiction is keeping you stuck in an addictive point of view? Okay, just be with that question. Use it as a clearing during the week. Feel free to post on the Dr. Sarah Facebook page, Instagram, wherever I'm at. Feel free to speak to that. Would love to hear your point of view. So next week's episode is a new show where I will be welcoming guest, return guest, Chris Forte. So Chris is the author of the book, The Humble Warrior, and he will be joining us to talk a bit about his own journey, and we're going to really look at other things that are coming in and possibilities and share some really amazing things with you from a conscious point of view. It's a bit of a mystery until you join us next time. So please join Chris and I next Monday, August the 19th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I would like to close the show by thanking my guest, Liz Tupling, for joining us again today. Wow, so amazing. And I would also like to thank each of you, the listeners, for your amazing energy and contribution. I really couldn't do it without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I would also like to acknowledge how grateful I am to be your host. And I so look forward to continuing to be part of your journey with you and bringing to you all kinds of amazing things that I am showing up with the Dr. Sarah space of being. So now go forth this week knowing I have your back, knowing that you being you and the difference that you be is the difference this world requires and desires. So again, go forth and be, perceive, know, and receive it, my friends. And I'll look forward to talking to you again next time. Okay, bye for now.